And it came about, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of the cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. And thus the Lord used to speak to Moses, face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And Lord, we ask that this night, that your presence, the cloud of your radiance and glory, would descend in our midst. And each one of us in our heart of hearts would worship you and adore you and magnify you. And that, Lord, we would meet with you face to face as a friend would meet with a friend. And that we'd be like Joshua, Lord, we would not want to depart from the tent of meeting, the tent of the presence, the tent of the glory of God revealed through the face of Almighty God. We ask that, Lord, you would speak to us and that we would see you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, folks. You may be seated. Last week, the Lord very clearly spoke to me a word which I'm bringing this evening on friendship. And what really impressed upon my heart is that Moses was considered by the Lord to be a friend of God. He was a friend of God. The intimacy of seeing the glory and seeing the Lord face to face is reflected in a relationship that Moses had, which is friendship. What an amazing revelation, isn't it? When the word friendship comes to mind, it talks about someone that you like, someone that you love to have affection, and someone that you actually just love to be around. How many of you have got friends? You love to be around. And you know that, how many know you can just suddenly be a friend of a person and you've never known them before? And friendship just talks about that intimacy. It talks about that closeness. It also, I believe, speaks about a whole area of trustworthy. You've been someone that you can trust and confide in. Wouldn't that be true? Someone that you could pour your heart out to and not feel as though that your confidence would be betrayed. This is now a whole area of faithful, people that are faithful, that are trustworthy, people that you are loyal to you, that you can confide in. The basis of all love is trust. If you can trust the person, you'll open up your heart. One of the most important parts of relationship is firstly friendship, isn't it? Now we can have that in all different kinds of relationships. We can have that, of course, as we grow up. We're friends with school friends. Then we become boyfriend-girlfriends. How many know that has some certain issues? That you trust them and the experiences, of course, that they may break your heart. How many good friends, girlfriends with girlfriends, can get catty and can be, not pleasant? So we can often see friendships broken because you start to trust and begin to open up. Then, of course, we move into the friendship of marriage. How many know that your wife and your husband really should be a good friend? Friendships is an entry point, isn't it, for deeper intimacy. A friendship which takes you into marriage and a lifelong partnership which will go into eternity. Because true love and friendship will remain, won't it? What an amazing thing for God to use in the Scripture. Friendship. When He wants to reveal His glory, when He wants to reveal His face, He's talking about friendship. Friendship with God. that he calls me his friend. God will actually call you his friend. It's a very deep thing for me, I'm telling you. I'm going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And verse 7. Dost thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants in this land before thy people Israel, and give to the descendants of Abraham thy friend forever? Well, Abraham was the father of faith, wasn't he? Abraham, through the seed of Abraham, we shall be blessed. So there's a friendship that God had with Abraham, an amazing friendship and intimacy. Imagine having a forever type of friendship. Anyone interested in a forever kind of friendship? An eternal one that just keeps going on. And we know the promises of God are forever. They're never changed. The inheritance that God has for us is forever. And I like the thought that in James chapter 2, verse 21, it talks about how Abraham was fascinated. Let me just read this. James chapter 2. It says that, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scriptures were fulfilled, which say, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. Now Abraham was given an amazing promise, wasn't he? Through your seed, all the earth will be blessed, and your seed will be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. What an amazing understanding that this man had of laying down his gift, his promise, his ministry. He was willing to, by faith, believe that even though God had promised him this, even though this was a fulfillment of all the promises, he was willing to take that promise, that seed, and offer it up on the altar unto death, knowing that God, who could bring that which is dead back to life, would bring it back to life. But God was testing the heart of Abraham. So I'm encouraging you, many of us, it's a new path, it's a new wineskin, it's a new wine that God's pouring out. So we're asking each of you individually to be willing to lay down. I'm going to say it's very hard sometimes to lay down the giftings, the promises, to lay them down so that God might actually, do you understand, bring it back to life in a whole newness and oneness. And body ministry. There's been so much individual ministry, but God wants to bring a body ministry, which I think is going to eclipse an individual's ministry because it's going to be knitted out of a relationship and friendship. One of the greatest things I'm praying for and seeing already taking place within our midst is friendship. Because the basis of intimacy is friendship. What is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who are the people that you become closest to in the Spirit? Are those who love the Lord, aren't they? And if God has placed them in a relationship within you in the church, one of the greatest things I think we should encourage and work on is friendship. In fact, anyone will tell you that any church will actually grow out of friendship. If a person does not feel that they've made friends within a church, within the first few weeks of them coming and visiting, you know what will happen? They will leave. What a bizarre thing. You might have the most phenomenal preaching, the most amazing light show going on. You might have the most incredible, powerful ministry in the world. You might have all the signs and wonders, but you realize if the person doesn't actually find friendship, you know what they'll do? Many of them will walk away. Now, if you've had difficulty making friendship, I think you'll have some healing to go through. Because you've come to a place where you have to trust. And when trust has been shattered, often we have difficulty opening ourselves up to intimacy and transparency. Transparency and intimacy comes from a vulnerability, isn't it? A willing for people to actually see inside who you are, not just your gifting, not just your power, not just your great anointing, but they actually want to see you, don't they? How many of those sometimes scary? You've gone very quiet on me. They actually want to see you. They want to know you. How many people have friends that you could really call friends? Okay. It's interesting, isn't it? How many have been to church and often found that you can be there for years and actually develop very few friends? It's an interesting thought. So I feel that the Lord's just really highlighting in my spirit the basis of an entire intimacy with God and with one another is out of a friendship. You actually enjoy hanging out with them. You actually enjoy who they are. You actually look forward to spending time with them and getting to know them. How many know that friendship takes time to develop? Doesn't it? Takes time to develop, and there has to be an ability for you to hear their journey. One of the most powerful things we've been finding in our group as we've been preparing for this church and to see it start has been people sharing their life story and their life journey. It's called testimonies, isn't it? How many sometimes you're shocked you can be in church, you never actually hear anything more than just surface level communication? One of the most amazing things that knits your heart together when you hear someone's journey. Fascinating, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, I think it is, that we overcome by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and we do not love our life even unto death. Now here's three amazing things. Martyrdom, the blood of Jesus, and Jesus is willing to put our testimony up with that same incredible there's a two radical thoughts, isn't it? The blood of Jesus and martyrdom. He's going to put your testimony up there, up on the top of that list. It's a testimony. Hearts are knit together when you hear the person's journey. How many know you can't be friends with everybody? How many know you'd like to be, but it just doesn't work that way? How many know that some people walk different journeys? They're still walking with God, but we walk different journeys. How many know you've had friendships part? How many know that breaks your heart? Because if it didn't break your heart, I'm worried. But we have to walk, don't we, the path that God's called us into. And there's a healing process in that. But friendship is the heart cry of God. It's the heart cry of intimacy that He wants. Let me just read you another interesting passage out of Proverbs, Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 16. It talks about the bride and the groom. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughter of Jerusalem. Here in Song of Songs, we see this entire revelation about the bride and the bridegroom. And here, the bride is introducing the bridegroom and saying, this Jesus, the Son of God, is my friend. He's my friend. Hear this, O daughters of Jerusalem. He's my friend. And that's in the heart of Song of Solomon. That's the heart of the intimacy of the cry of God for the bride. We find also an amazing thought. John the Baptist, in John chapter 3, verse 27 to 30, he said, I am the friend of the bridegroom. one of the most amazing, most anointed prophets. And what was his testimony? I'm a friend of the bridegroom. I'm a friend of Jesus. And he said, you know what I do when I understand that? I must decrease. One of the most incredible, most anointed prophets, the scriptures say, birthed of man. He said, I must decrease, that he must increase. But he said, I am a friend of the bridegroom. You know what a friendship does? Jesus, one of his opening statements, is that he is a friend. He laid his life down, not just for his friends, you know what I mean? Because a friend will lay down a life for a friend. He laid his life down for sinners. See, a friend will lay his life down for a friend. But he, the Bible calls in Matthew 11:19, he is a friend of sinners. Religious people couldn't understand that. He was a friend to sinners. He was a friend to every person, that would literally anyone. That relationship and intimacy of the heart of God is to reach out towards the untouchable, the unloved. People who, I think evangelism, one of the most powerful ways in evangelism we need to get a revelation of is that God loves them and that you love them. If you love people, you will love sinners and sinners will know that. One of the greatest sinners weeps and cleanses Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears, wipes them, washes them, because her heart, one look at his eyes, knew that she was accepted and loved. And I find one of the greatest things we can do in the body of Christ is to keep grievance and to keep things out of our heart that would break friendship, that would break unity, that would break love. But the reality is we do stuff up. The reality is that we do make mistakes, and sometimes people cannot and will not be reconciled. But at least our job is to try, isn't it? Lazarus, in John chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus called Lazarus his friend. Amazing. He raises him from the dead. He weeps. The people say how he must have loved this man. He was a friend. They call themselves friends. What's also quite interesting is that faithful are the wounds of a friend. How many have ever had your friend reprove you, correct you, and it's been an absolute blessing to you? How many know some of them haven't, and when you got married, your wife or your husband started to try and work on you because the friends didn't bother to go that far in their relationship? Have you ever gone back to your friends and say, am I really like that? And they say, well, yes. Well, how come you didn't tell me? My wife's just told me I'm this, 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 and this. Is that true? How many have been devastated by the reality that you weren't perfect? And shattered by the fact that no one had the grace to come up to you to help you. A friend I've found that's got the courage enough to actually reprove you. And you can, how many know it's hard to receive it, that's all. You can get all tied up in knots over it, you know what I mean? You can get defensive, you can get angry, you can spit the dummy. But how many know that's the risk of friendship to the level where you will allow someone to speak into your life? How many hate having someone speak into your life? Because we just don't want to be thinking that we're doing it wrong or hurting or messing up, is that right? But the Lord wants us to develop a friendship which can receive correction, which can receive input. The problem is if we've been very broken, we become very defensive. We begin to take that on board as criticism, we take that on board as anger, we take that on board as rejection, that they reject us when they're actually trying to help us. A friend will be willing to reprove. And it says that they are faithful wounds. You will be hurt by it. But how many know that wounds can heal? So they will wound you. But they are faithful ones, aren't they? Reprove a fool and you'll get him to bite you like a dog. They'll bite. They will savage you. Reprove a friend. That's why it's not good to reprove someone unless you feel you've got a friendship relationship. People say, what do you see in my life? You better have a friendship relationship before you even say anything. Unless you're a moving prophet going very fast and you're never back there again. Now what's so interesting, it says that a kiss of an enemy are deceitful. Now Jesus understood that, didn't he? Matthew 26:50. Came up and kissed him. He said, friend, do what you must do. Do you realize that Jesus still maintained friendship with Judas Iscariot? And on the cross, he's forgiving them all. He was betrayed with a kiss, and yet he called him a friend. He dipped his morsel in as a friend. How many have had friends betray you? Devastating. Enemies you can handle, friends very difficult. But friendship is still in the heart of God. Even though you've been betrayed, Jesus still maintained friendship, even though he's been betrayed. So he understands the betrayal you felt, he understands the hurt, the woundedness and the abandonment, but he died for you to be healed from that. He died for you to be healed. It's a cup of blessing. To break every curse that's been spoken over you. Break every word that's been straight from judgment and hurtfulness. And again, be willing to know that God himself will lift you into a place of intimacy and reveal his face to you and heal every single wound that you've ever received from any person. The danger is that we create dependency upon people. How many know you can become dependent upon friendships and relationships which are human? The danger is then who has your heart? It becomes a soul tie where you become tied to that individual because you've received from them, but you don't realize that actually often there can be ownership. How many have had people actually try and own you, control you, manipulate you, and it looks all good for a good reason, but you feel a little bit overshadowed, it doesn't feel quite right? This is not Holy Spirit friendship. We are to direct people to Jesus. Every ministry that we do is to turn them away from us, because if they turn to us, it's spiritual idolatry. If we get them to turn towards Jesus, worshiping the King. So any ministry that you have and gifting you have must turn the person to Christ. If they start focusing upon you as you're the only one with the answers, it becomes spiritual idolatry. So you'll notice in our ministry time here in this church, we allow a large number of our, we've got 50 odd people who can pray and minister, and if they're not getting breakthrough, guess what? They move on. Don't feel despondent that you're rejected. Someone else who might carry the anointing may have it. How many know some days you are anointed and other days you're not? The most powerful ministries I've seen when four or five people pray for one person. I've had professional counselors turn and psychiatrists say that we've done more work in that one ministry time with five Christians praying than I could do in 6 months. So I have great faith in body ministry. I also have great faith in accountability. I have great faith in the ability for us to have checks and balances within each other. How many of you have told your friend it's going too far or it's too much? It's just a little bit too... Anyhow, we'll move on. A friend loves at all times. People I know that I find have intimacy with God often have deep, close, intimate friends that go for life. Friends, you can not see a friend for 15 to 20 years and then you can see them again and pick up exactly where you were 15 to 20 years ago. It's timeless. Friendship and intimacy and love is timeless. It's worked in the Spirit. And you can pick up exactly where you were because love for all times. Loyalty is an extremely important part. I tell you what, I'm a very loyal person. But if someone breaks loyalty or starts harming people, I will carry a big stick. Because Jesus was the defender of the weak, defender of the... And anyone vulnerability, there's a place where you need to put protection and guidelines. Now you're going all quiet on me again. It's called sheep and it's called wolves in sheep's clothing. Very hard to spot, but it's called independence. A brother is born for adversity. But there is a friend who's closer than a brother. I have found that some of my Christian friends have actually eclipsed my own family, which is my own brother, sister. Not that there's a different relationship there, but when you're pursuing the things of God, your brothers and sisters, Jesus had the same thing. Your mother's outside, your brothers and sisters, he said, well, my brothers and sisters are those who hear the word of God and do it. And not everyone's going to walk the path you walk. Not everyone's going to pay the price. Not everyone's willing to walk in absolute, unabandoned, 100%, 150% desire to know the Lord. To the level that you want to walk in that is to the level you'll gather people around you because kindred hearts gather, birds of a feather flock together. If you carry that intimacy and heart for God, you will attract like-minded spirited people. Bad company corrupts good morals, but good company will lift you into the heavens. You want to hang around spirit people who love God? Hang around them. Don't dare get disassociated with them because they are a rarity in this darkened world. Develop friendship. Pursue, learn, grow intimately. Watch and learn the things that they have in God because that will help you to soar. Receive, be discipled, imbibe, but remember that it's not idolatry towards them. You don't dare look to them as anyone but a person who's walking that path that you actually walk with. The person you're following and the only person you're following is Jesus. We're all on a journey. Where am I? There was a wedding feast and Jesus talked a parable in Luke 14. Perhaps we'll just turn to that. Luke 14, 8 to 11. And when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited both shall come and say to you, give place to this man, and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you're invited, go and recline in the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then he will give honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. How many would like to go up higher? How would you like to have the Lord say, come up higher? It means we go lower. You want to go up higher? See how low you can go. If you think you have a gift, your gift will make room for you. If you feel as though you've been left out or cheated out of it or pushed out of it, or guess what? God will vindicate you and he will make room for you and he will lift you. How many heard about Joseph? How many heard about his own brother supposedly turning on him? And guess what happened? God in his time vindicated. So do not feel trying to get yourself lifted up higher, that your train and your glory will fill the world. That you're the only thing that the world needs. And without you, the whole world's going to collapse. And that you're the only one that can sort everyone out. You're in deception. If you think you're the only one who can actually bring people into intimacy, you're in great deception. God can do it quite well without any of us. The fact that he even lets us to kind of hang in there and use a bit of what he's got is extraordinary. And we've only got bits of the puzzle. When the mosaic of God's artwork is painted, it is a glorious masterpiece. And he is painting on a whole new canvas, something that requires unity and diversity. It requires humility. It requires friendship and love. It requires an ability to relate to God and to one another, which takes time, which takes friendship, which takes love, and requires trust and a willingness for people to bring correction to you without you spitting the dummy. Just about got that off my chest, I think. Bible also says that he is a friend of the world is an opposition, hostility, and hatred to God. He who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, which is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, you know what I mean? Boastfulness. It's got nothing to do with God. We are not in we're in this world, but not of it. The heart of God is that we love him, citizens of heaven, and then we just want to meet heaven and earth as much as we can on this planet together for the rest of our life until we get caught away. And like Enoch, we walk with God, and then we basically just keep walking. You know what I mean? And the greatest is love. I have stood before him. I have seen his face. And the greatest was that he loved me. His love cannot get any better than what it was that night, 26 years ago. His love cannot increase. His love was actually in its fullness given to me, having just been saved. So it brings me into a great rest that nothing that I do for him will increase that love. My security is in the fact that he loved me when I was a sinner, loved me when I died, and loves me now. And it's not going to change. That takes performance out of me, striving, fear of man. It busts a whole bunch of stuff off me before he gets started. So I don't have to jump through hoops or try and impress anybody. I can just be who I am in God. I actually find myself in Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Your true identity be revealed as Christ in you changes who you are to conform to his image. But the fact that he loved you when you were just in rotten, stinking sin hasn't changed, because his love is going to be the same for you all the way through the process. And if you die in a mess, don't worry, he'll sort you out as you come up. Because I died in an absolute mess, complete rotten, stinking sinner. Thank God the blood of Jesus was sufficient to cleanse me totally of all sin and darkness and evil. Every single demon, every flippin' filthy thing got taken out the moment I gave my life to Christ and said, Jesus, forgive me. Instant. That's the truth. I wasn't sanctified. I was saved, redeemed, All debt cancelled out. Well, as I came up into his presence, then he started pouring in the stuff that I knew nothing about. Comfort. Peace. Joy. Love. Acceptance. Healing of my broken heart. And as he brought me through the realms of his presence and glory, I was overwhelmed that when I stood before him and saw his holiness and purity and the radiance of his face, the new heavens and new earth, what has stuck with me the entire time, all of it, the greatest was love. Because when you're loved, that's secure. That's the most secure place you can ever be in God, is that you are loved. Most of us don't even like ourselves. We've been so rejected by other people, so broken by them, we haven't come to the greatest part of the heart of God is love. And that's the most intimate place. So when I look at people, I see people seeking God. Now if you look at people and all you see them is broken messes, you're in real trouble. Because Jesus, when he looks at you, he doesn't just see a broken mess. You know what he sees? Potential. What he sees is a son and daughter of God. When he looks at you, he sees through his eyes. You know what he sees? Do you know what eyes of love see? Extraordinary. Extraordinary transformation is going to take place in your life, and you are going to be one who radiates the glory of God in this earth and carries the manifest presence of God's Spirit wherever you go. That's how he sees you. As the years have gone by and my knowledge of the intimacy of God, I have seen more and more the fact that if I can actually see through his eyes, if I can but see through his eyes, love, and see the transformation that can take place in each individual, that is extraordinary. How many know that sometimes you look and just go, no hope, I give up? Come on, some of you have been in ministry. Some of you have been pastoring and preaching and all around the world. How many sometimes you don't have any hope? But how many know that God does? Forget about you. Forget about the preacher. Forget about the pastor. Forget about all the counselors, psychiatrists, and everyone you had. Look at you. Forget about them. God has hope on you if no one else does. And if you can find one person that has hope, get them to pray for you. And if you don't find anyone, lay hands on yourself, put your hand up to heaven, and start praying. You will be changed. You will be conformed. You will enter the kingdom of heaven, radiant, transformed. And none of us know what intimacy is, but I tell you what, intimacy is based in Christ in you. Amen. I'd like the musicians to come. Oh gosh, I've had to talk too long. And I'd love Melanie to come and just share some amazing thing that she shared with me about having a cup of tea with someone. It really struck a chord in my heart. Melanie, could you just come and share that? It really touched me.
That's a real surprise. Oh, this is one of the most amazing experiences I've had. I had a vision. I came back from work, put my bag on the table and my keys, turned round the corner into the kitchen, and there was Jesus. He wasn't a king, he wasn't a priest, he was in a robe with an apron on. And he just handed me a cup of tea, Earl Grey with a drop of milk, just how I like it. And I thought, this is weird, this is too normal, this is too everyday. I mean, where's the king, where's the priest? And he said, let's have some toast. So we put the bread in the toaster, and as you know, sometimes when the toast pops up, poof, when it's ready, it did this, and we were scrabbling in the air together to see who would get it first. We were laughing, and there was just such freedom in that. It was such joy in that. And it's all coming back now. And we were just kids together. There was no doctrine, no theology. There was such a togetherness. It was just so beautiful and free. And then we came and we sat down at the kitchen table. He was at the head where my husband normally sits. I was at his right-hand side where I normally sit. And we started eating the toast. We were just looking at each other, big grins on their face. And then he just looked at me, and just this oil started pouring out of his mouth, just pouring everywhere, over his face, over his clothes. And I don't know what more to say than I just want more of him.
Amen. What do you do with a friend? Have him come over, have a cup of tea, sit down, fellowship, isn't it? Come on in. I believe the Lord wants us to just open up the altar for whatever the Lord's touching you with, whatever ministry need, whatever. If you just want to stand before Him, if you need healing, just be willing to ask someone who's got these badges on and tell them if you have a need. If not, we'll just come and pray and bless what God's doing. If you feel you like to be more specific, feel more specific. If you don't, just hang out. If you don't want to come up, fine, stand, sit, kneel. But we'd love to give opportunity for people to connect with God, to allow His healing love to flow into them. And the cry of your heart to be a friend of God. So Lord, we pray that You'll just be with us. We pray that You'll just continue to develop that friendship that we're yearning for, that we're longing for. And Lord, we thank You that You tell us so clearly in the New Testament that You no longer call us slaves, servants, but You call us friends. You call us friends. And everything that the Father's revealed to You, You reveal to us. Everything that You've heard from the Father, You speak to us, because You no longer call us servants or slaves, but You call us friends. And particularly say, if we obey You and do what You've commanded us to do, that You will remain with us, never leave us. So Lord, bless you folks, and the altar is open. We're going to have a time of just worship and prayer. If you need to go, you feel free to go. There's tea and coffee in the back. And thank you so much for coming. We're having a baby dedication next week. It's going to be awesome. Cutest baby you've ever seen in the world.